Please bow your heads with me. I'll say another prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the love you have for us, and we thank you that you will walk with us, that you show yourself to us. And I pray that you will show yourself to us again in these moments we spend thinking on your word and thinking about what it is to trust you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So this morning, the topic I want to share is a question that we each answer continually throughout the day. It's a question that we each have answered in the past, that we will answer really to the end of our lives. And it's this question: will you trust God? Will you trust God? At the tree of knowledge of good and evil, Eve was faced with that question. Will you trust God? And going through all of the Old and New Testament, the great and not so great Bible characters were faced with the question, will you trust God? And Michelle's son soon is going to make a public declaration that he is choosing to trust God. And each of us, I believe, have at some point in the past, maybe not as often as we'd like to, have made the decision to trust God. And so for us, the question isn't just will you trust God, but the question is will you trust God again? And each day, all of the day, we are faced with that question. We are answering that question, whether we consciously do it or not. We are answering the question, will I trust God again? Probably one of the most, I think, powerful examples of an individual faced with this question in the Bible is the story of Jacob. In Genesis chapter 42, he's faced with this question, will I trust God again? You remember the story. This is after the brothers of Joseph have gone to Egypt, have seen their brother. He's responded harshly to them. He's kept Simeon and said, go back and don't come back until you bring with you your younger brother to prove that you're not spies. And so when they come back, it says, when they came, this is verse 29 of Genesis 42, when they came to their father Jacob in the land of Canaan, they told him all that had happened to them, saying, the man, the Lord of the land, spoke harshly with us and took us for spies of the country. But we said to him, we are honest men. We are not spies. We are 12 brothers, sons of our father. One is no longer alive, and the youngest is with our father today in the land of Canaan. Skipping down, the man says in verse 34, but bring your youngest brother to me, that I may know that you are not spies, but honest men. I will give your brother to you, and you may trade in the land. Skipping down a few more verses, in verse 36, Jacob now, being faced with this question, will I trust God again? Will I trust God with the life of my son Benjamin? Will I trust God again? Jacob is faced with this question. It says in verse 36, their father Jacob said to them, you have bereaved me of my children. He actually didn't know how true that statement was. You have bereaved me of my children. Joseph is no more, and Simeon is no more. And you would take Benjamin? All these things are against me. At that point, Jacob makes the decision that, no, I'm not going to trust God. I'm not going to trust you, my sons. But now in chapter 43, that was chapter 42, in chapter 43, it says, now the famine was severe in the land. So it came about when they had finished eating the grain which they had brought from Egypt, that their father said to them, go back, buy us a little food. So time passes now, and they've exhausted the grain that they first purchased in Egypt. So we're talking about a significant amount of time that Jacob is wrestling with this decision. He knows it's going to come. At some point, we're going to run out of grain. Maybe he's hoping he can get by, and maybe the famine will end, and so he won't have to face this question again. But he knew that likely, at some point, they'll run out of grain, and he'll be confronted again with this question that he's delayed. Will I trust God again? The reason I say again, because Jacob, when we look back over his life, he had heard of the blessedness of trusting in God. Jacob is the grandson of Abraham, and when you do the math, Abraham lived 175 years. He had Isaac when he was 100. Isaac had Jacob and Esau when he was 60 years old. So that was 160 when Abraham was 160 years old when Jacob was born, and Abraham dies 15 years later. So for the first 15 years of his life, Jacob and Esau heard from Abraham's lips his experiences with trusting God. They heard from Abraham's lips. The story, one time God called me and told me to go leave everything you have and go to the land I will show you. And I did it. It wasn't easy. And he told them in his words the challenges he faced, the difficulties he experienced. And they heard from his lips the blessedness of trusting in God, because it didn't end there. The rest of the story, they could look around and see that we're doing pretty good in the land of Canaan. As Abraham was rich, they were increased in goods. And as a result of Abraham trusting God, Jacob would have realized that it is blessed to trust God. And similarly, all of us, we face this question every day, but all of us have heard the blessedness of trusting in God. All of us have heard stories from people, maybe older people, maybe people our own age. We've read stories in the Bible. We've heard the blessedness of trusting in God. And these are all pushing us in our answering of that question, will I trust God again? But for Jacob, it wasn't just that he heard the blessedness of trusting in God. He also had seen the blessedness of trusting in God. He had also lived it through the life of his father Isaac, who was faced with hostility towards him by the Philistines. And they took the wells that he dug, so he dug other wells. And they told him, get out of the land. He said, okay, I'll leave. And he saw the gracious response of his father, that trusting not just God in general, but trusting God's ways of reacting with hostile individuals. He saw the blessedness of trusting in God in that way. He saw that though they treated him unjustly, though they were wrong, when he responded kindly, when he responded graciously, Jacob would have seen the blessedness of trusting in God. So Jacob had heard the blessedness, he had seen the blessedness of trusting God, but also, like us, he had experienced the blessedness of trusting in God. He had experienced that God kept him safe when his brother Esau came to him with 400 men, looking like he was ready to carry out the revenge he had sworn years before. He had experienced himself, I called on God and he cared for me. He had seen for himself that even though Laban was cheating him for all of those years, he trusted in God, and he had experienced for himself the blessedness of trusting in God. So Jacob, like us, has heard the blessedness of trusting in God. Like us, he has seen the blessedness of trusting in God. He himself has experienced the blessedness of trusting in God. But unfortunately, Jacob had also experienced the disappointment of trusting in God. The disappointment of trusting in God. You remember the story. Jacob loved Rachel. He loved her so much that 7 years working for her were just about a few days in his sight. He loved her with all his heart, but he's tricked by his father-in-law and given Leah instead. This results in conflict in the family, just back and forth. They're having challenges and difficulties. So he's never really able to have the happy life with just he and Rachel. Never able to have that happy marriage that he dreamed of and worked for all of those years. He's always having conflict, always managing between Leah and Rachel and then their children and the concubines, and having to deal with all of that. But at least he had Rachel. But he has Rachel, and then without explanation to them, she can't have children. And so, yes, he's happy that he has Reuben. He's happy he has Simeon. He's happy he has these others, but he can't have a child with Rachel, his beloved wife. But then finally, to the glory of God, they have Joseph. Joseph comes out and she's grateful. And she says, even in naming him, his name will mean adding, because God is going to add to me another son. And so they're excited. They're able to raise Joseph. Joseph probably looks like his mother. Joseph acts like his mother. And Joseph and Jacob and Rachel are able to experience the greatness of the family bonds. But then, to the glory of God, she's pregnant again. Of course, they didn't have a sonogram to know, but they hope it's going to be a boy, because she had said in naming Joseph, she's going to have another son. The child comes to maturity and comes out of the womb. It's a boy. And then Rachel dies. Rachel dies. This is one of the places in Scripture we actually have no explanation for why did Rachel have to die. Why couldn't Jacob continue in that life of happiness? Why couldn't they enjoy bringing up their two children together? Why couldn't they have the happiness that he dreamed about when he first saw her? Why did Rachel have to die? But still, Jacob trusted in God. But still, Jacob trusted in God despite the disappointment of that he experienced from trusting in God. Unfortunately, the pain didn't end there. Joseph grows, and then Joseph, you know, he's 17 years old, just still a young man. Joseph is then taken and meets, as far as Jacob is concerned, a horrible death. You remember when they brought the coat, he says, Joseph is no doubt torn in pieces. Any of you who have children, you cannot outlive the image in your mind of your child. Why wasn't I there? Why did I send him out there to go check on his brothers? It was my fault. Why, or not me, why did God allow Joseph to be taken from me? Rachel is taken from me without explanation. Joseph is taken from me without explanation. And now Benjamin? Benjamin, his last tie to Rachel, his last shred of memories, looking into his face, looking into his eyes, he's reminded of his beloved wife who he wasn't able to have the experience that he wanted with her. And now God is asking me to trust him with Benjamin? That's the experience of Joseph, of Jacob here in Genesis chapter 43, when he's faced with this question, will I trust God again? And perhaps like Jacob, some of us, maybe even all of us, have experienced, yes, the blessedness, seen and heard the blessedness of trusting in God. But somehow, some way, I'm sure some of us in here have experienced the disappointment, the pain, the grief, the suffering of trusting in God. And then we're faced with this question, will you trust God again? Will you trust God again? In Genesis 43, Jacob, being faced with this terrible question, comes to this conclusion. This is in chapter 43 of Genesis, verse 12. Take double the money in your hand, and take back in your hand the money that was returned in the mouth of your sacks. Perhaps it was a mistake. Take your brother also, it's Benjamin, and arise, return to the man. But here's the key. In verse 14, he says, and may God Almighty grant you compassion in the sight of the man. Earlier, he had said, you have bereaved me, talking to the sons, his sons. He says, I'm not going to give you my son. I'm not going to trust him to you again. But here he says, may God Almighty grant you compassion in the sight of the man, so that he will release to you your other brother and Benjamin. And then here's the final statement of resignation. He says, and as for me, if I am bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. This was not trusting God if everything worked out okay. This was not trusting God as long as God kept my child safe. This was trust in God, and if I am bereaved, I am bereaved. This perhaps inspired Esther when she said, if I perish, I perish. If I am bereaved, I am bereaved. Taking back, looking back over all his life, looking back over the blessedness, of the great things of trusting in God, but also recognizing that sometimes there's pain, there's suffering, there's loss. When we put our trust in God, Jacob said, still, I'm choosing to trust God again. That's my prayer for each of us. That we look back over our life, we look back over what we've experienced. Like I said, all of us can say we've seen that God is good. We've seen there's blessedness. But sometimes, somewhere along the way, we're faced with this terrible, terrible question. Will I trust God again? And sometimes that comes with that statement, I will trust God, and if I'm bereaved, I am bereaved. Bow our heads with me in prayer. Our God, you are good, and your mercy endures forever. And each of us, we are faced with this. Even now, as we go back to work, will we trust God to maintain our integrity and be faithful? Will we trust God and do what we know is right, even though others may not recognize it? Will we trust God and follow his ways? Will we trust God and make decisions that for our family, for ourselves, that may be hard, that may be difficult, but we know God is calling us to make them? Will we trust you again? Each of us here, we pray that you will remind us of the many reasons we have to trust you. Remind us of the many experiences we've had where you have shown yourself to be faithful. You've shown yourself to know even better than us what is for our best interest. And by remembering these, may we in Jesus' name trust you always. I pray this in his name. Amen.